Time has started. All right.
She shows no mercy.
I will stand by my understanding of the Levitical law and Tovah and all of that as I stand by my understanding of the Sodom and Gomorrah narrative. I do not believe it has anything to do with homosexuality. The verb to know in the Hebrew scriptures occurs 940 some odd times, I think, give or take. It's 900 and some odd times. And scholars are pretty universal in their agreement that it occurs less than 10 times in a way that we should understand it in an intercourse perspective. Now, if one is biased in trying to read a homosexual understanding into the Sodom narrative, one would say to know means to know sexually. If one doesn't have that bias, one is open to other interpretations and understandings. As a Christian, nevertheless, I'm free from the law, free from the laws of Leviticus. I had ham in my split pea soup before I came over here, and I might follow it up tonight before I go to sleep with a pork burrito. I don't know. Paraphusin is that which is beyond nature. Kataphusin is that which is against nature. I am not defending the actions of the men and women described in Romans 1. What they were doing was outside of who they were as human beings. They were doing something contrary to who they are. And I would say, well, I won't get off on all of that, but it was all a result of idolatrous worship. By the way, how many of you became gay or lesbian because you started worshiping idols as a result of it? I didn't think so. On to Romans 1 and 1 Timothy, or 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and 1 Timothy 1. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither the immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers. And then Paul uses two different Greek words, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor robbers will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, when you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. Okay, whatever these two words are, they are in the same context as the immoral, idolaters, adulterers, thieves, the greedy. What's that guy's name who's now in jail for made up, maybe? The greedy, nor drunkards, surely not alcoholics. Nor revelers. Does that mean party monger? Nor robbers. What are the two words used here? It's the word malakoi, and the second word is arsenikoikai. Malakoi is the Greek word for soft. Paul could not be saying here that those who are soft are excluded from the kingdom of God. Because if that were the case, the majority of we older preachers would be excluded from the kingdom of God. It's used in the Gospels, Malakoi was, to describe soft clothing. Jesus saying, you probably thought that I would come to you wearing soft clothing, but I'm not. I'm in coarse garments. I am not in the garments of the rich and famous. What did Paul mean when he said the Malakoi are excluded from the kingdom of God? What was he talking about? He was talking about those who were morally soft, those who had no moral standards, those who were perhaps immoral, but in all probability those who were amoral, those without morals. That's what the word means. It has nothing to do with homosexuality. And all of the patristic fathers, those who wrote in the first 250, 60, 70, 80 years after Jesus died, never quoted 1 Corinthians and 1 Timothy in their arguments against homosexuality. Were some of them opposed to homosexuality? You bet. They quoted, quote, Leviticus 18:22. Some would quote Romans 1. St. John Chrysostom, though, who hated homosexuals, really, didn't quote Malachi. He quoted Romans 1, but he pointed out that those people were people who had a natural desire for members of the opposite sex, experienced fulfillment in their relations with members of the opposite sex, and yet then went beyond who they were to have intercourse with members of the same sex. Now, that's how he uses Romans 1, and he's condemning that, but in his arguments against homosexuality, he never quotes 1 Corinthians 6:9, ever. Malachi, people who are without morals, morally soft. John Boswell, in his magnificent book, Christianity, Social Tolerance, and Homosexuality, in Appendix Number 1, goes on to say that Malachi changed in meaning over time. And one doesn't need to get too far into the Christian era before they were interpreting this by the meaning of masturbation. And the Catholic Church latched onto that, of course, and teaches masturbation is wrong to this day. Did it mean masturbation when St. Paul wrote? Absolutely not. It came to mean that. You know, David and I love watching the pre-code talkies, as we call them. You know, those movies made between 1929 and 1934 or so. And in watching those, all of these great stars are talking, oh, we had such a gay time tonight. Oh, he was dressed so gay. Oh, she really looked gay. He acted gay. And then the word changed in meaning, didn't it? And we know what the word gay means now. And if you go and talk to your friends and say, oh, it's such a gay party, they're going to understand it very different than your grandfathers did and grandmothers did. Gay changed in meaning. Well, that's what happened with Malachi. It changed in meaning. It went from without morals, amoral, those who had no sense of right or wrong, to masturbation, and then it went on and it became a whole bunch of other things in the centuries that followed, as did the word sodomite. And I don't even go there. The other Greek word, arsenikoitai, is a compound. It is two Greek words put together. Boswell argues that in all probability, St. Paul was the very first person to use this word. And if he wasn't, there was only one other to use it in the Greek literature, which has been attributed to that era. But he then disputes that that document really was written in the first century. Arsenikoitai, probably coined by Paul, used by others very rarely later. Koitai is the Greek word for, as Boswell says, it is a coarse word. Let's just say koitai means, the word begins with F and ends in R, if you can figure out the clue. The meaning of koitai. Arsen is the word for male. So it's talking about the male koitai. If possibly male prostitute is the best definition of the term.
10 seconds.
10 seconds. 10 minutes. Oh, thanks be to God.
You scared me.
But male prostitutes, we know from the ancient era, had intercourse with women as well as with men. And once again, not a single early church father ever quoted anything from 1 Corinthians, 1 Timothy to argue that homosexuality is wrong. Those who opposed it did not understand those two words to have anything to do with homosexuality. That's the bottom line. Did they come to be understood that way? Yes. What did Martin Luther do with them, with his translation of the German Bible? He used German words which did not imply anything homosexual. I find it interesting that the French did, but then when the New Jerusalem Bible was written in French, when it was translated into French, the words used in the 1955 edition had absolutely nothing to do with homosexuality. So Malakoi and Arsene Koitai is read by the French people, had nothing to do with that. On the other hand, the English and the Spanish, they translated the New Jerusalem Bible into their Spanish and English using words which obviously imply homosexuality. Where do we get, I don't know whether you're aware of this or not, but the Epistle of Barnabas, probably composed during the 1st century A.D., is now considered apocryphal, but was accepted as scripture by most early Christians familiar with it. It far forms a part of the text of the most famous surviving manuscript of the Bible, the Codex Sinaiticus, and its influence can be traced for centuries in the writings of many prominent fathers of the church. Here's what the Epistle of Barnabas says. Moses said, "You shall not eat the hair." Why? So that, he said, you may not become a child molester or be made like these. For the hair grows a new anal opening each year, so that however many years he has lived, he has that many anuses. Next time you get a bunny for Easter, keep an eye on that thing. Nor should you eat the hyena, he said, so that you may not become an adulterer or a seducer or like them. Why? Because this animal changes its gender annually, and is 1 year a male and the next a female. And he also, Moses, despised the weasel. You shall not, he said, become as these who we hear commit uncleanness with their mouths, nor shall be joined to those women who have committed illicit acts orally with the unclean, for this animal conceives through its mouth. Barnabas's use of this popular zoological tradition in a moral context was the decisive influence of many Christians, who not only adopted but expanded his prejudices. The Physiologicus was derived about the same time as the Epistle of Barnabas, possibly shortly thereafter. It was a collection of anecdotes about animals, some more or less accurate, some wildly fanciful, in which a Christian moral was extracted from various aspects of animal behavior. It first appeared in Greek a little after the Epistle of Barnabas, quickly made its way into Latin, where its popularity gave rise to dozens of different versions, and during the Middle Ages it was translated into almost every medieval language from Icelandic to Arabic. Its influence was incalculable, particularly during the Middle Ages. Available in every Romance language is the bestiary. It served as a manual of piety. The law says, reading from it, you shall not eat the weasel or anything like it. The Physiologicus has written of it that it has this trait. The female receives from the male in her mouth and becomes pregnant and gives birth through her ears. The law says you shall not eat the hyena or anything like it. The Physiologicus has written of it that it's male-female, that it's one time male and another female, it's therefore an unclean animal. This is why Jeremiah says, never will the den of the hyena be my inheritance. That's not why Jeremiah said that, but that's what the physiologist says. You must not therefore become like the hyena, taking first the male and then the female nature. Barnabas is what many of the early church fathers quoted in their arguments against homosexuality, and fast forward into the Middle Ages, between the physiological and Barnabas, you have them still making these arguments. 1 Corinthians and 1 Timothy are silent. You cannot twist those two Greek words to mean homosexual. I asked my Greek professor at Asbury Theological Seminary to take Dr. Boswell's book and examine it and get back with me and let me know whether or not he agreed. He got back with me and he said, Charlie, I'm sorry, but I can't comment on it. And I said, why? Is it true or not? Is appendix number one, where he goes through Dr. Boswell, who was the head of the history department at Yale, by the way, when he died in 1994. Why can't you comment on it? He said, just hear me. I cannot comment on it. I have my job. I cannot comment on it. What was he trying to say? St. John Chrysostom. You've heard me talk 3 minutes. Oh, wow. I've got lots of time. St. John Chrysostom wrote these words about the ancient church. Those very people who have been nourished by godly doctrine, who instruct others in what they ought not to do, who have heard the scriptures brought down from heaven, these do not consort with prostitutes as fearlessly as they do with young men. Don't you find he's talking about the preachers of his day? Do you get it? The fathers of the young men take this in silence. They do not try to sequester their sons, nor do they seek any remedy for this evil. None is ashamed, no one blushes, but rather they take pride in their little game. The courts are powerless. The laws, instructors, parents, friends, teachers are all helpless. If any avoid such practices, they'll find it difficult to escape the bad reputation of those involved. First of all, because they are very few and will be easily lost in the great throng of the evil livers. Indeed, there is some danger that womankind will become unnecessary in the future, with young men instead fulfilling all the needs women used to. What does that say about the ancient church? Did they throw gay people out? No. We were there. Century after century after century, and city after city after city, all over the ancient world. We were there in the pews. They knew about us. And some of the preachers didn't like it. But many of the preachers were, guess what? Just like a $3 bill.
One minute.
What do I want to say to you? If I had more time, I would go through some of the Holy Union liturgies of the later centuries. I would talk to you about Serge and Bacchus, two paired male saints, Felicia Perpetua, Polycarp and Nerchos, three gay lesbian couples who remain saints today in the Roman Catholic Church. They died not because they were queer, but because they were Christian, that's why they were not.